evening when everything's getting kind of lonely. You call me up and ask me if I'd like to go and see a movie. At first I said no, I've got some plans tonight. And then I stop and say, all right, love is kind of crazy with a spoken little boy like you. Spooky, yeah, spooky, yeah.
Since you're our sponsor, what, you're here to plug your Brit Comedy Doc, Flying Cattle Class.
That's correct.
Now that had to do that. The generation of that, the germination of that was some air travel you did recently, right?
That's right. Yes. Well, international.
We don't want to give it away, but where does Cattle Class? We don't want to give away your bits from your DVD, which is available at where?
You can get that through. BritComedyDoc.com. Go on to the merchandise. Go on to the menu on BritComedyDoc. Go to the merchandise page, and you can order it through there.
That's also where we'll find links to Facebook.
Absolutely,
Facebook, yep. Twitter, all that good stuff.
That's right.
So, where does cattle class fall? It goes first class, business class, general seating, storage.
In between, it's in between general seating and storage.
And storage.
It's kind of halfway between the two.
All right, how? What are some good plugs on here? What do we got on your DVD?
It's a general, you know, it's generalized stuff. Was talking about my flight, my international flight, having to go and see my auntie in London, who unfortunately died. So I had to attend her funeral. So there's some information about that. Which turned out to be quite fun. There's obviously,
I love a fun funeral.
Yeah, all funerals are fun. They've got to be fun. Yeah. There's got to be fun. There's some stuff about my childhood. There's some stuff about the heat in Arizona and me getting used to it, coming from England, being a Brit. So there's all that kind of stuff. And it was filmed in a live studio with an audience, and it's funny. And
where'd you record it?
Cool. It was recorded in Prescott. At Ames Recording Studios, which is...
That's Justin Ames, amesrecordingstudios.com. Check him out. His social media, his Facebook, Twitter, all that good stuff is also at amesrecordingstudios.com. We can see everything about Dan, the Brit Comedy Doc Nightingale, at britcomedydoc.com. Real active on Facebook. And what do you got coming up on Thursday, starting in August?
Starting August the 6th, there is the Brit and Joel Cooper Comedy Show, which is being held at the Habuka Lounge in Tempe, and that's going to be running every Thursday. There's five comedians, there's Joel Cooper doing headlining, and I'll be hosting the show. It's every Thursday night, starts at 8 o'clock. The Habuka Lounge is a lovely lounge. It's a new place, and there is some fantastic comedians lined up to perform there throughout August. So it's going to be an absolutely fun. There is a $5 cover to get in, but it's going to be an absolutely awesome show, and we're really looking forward to it.
Good deal. So we want to thank Dan for sponsoring today's episode of the Mile High Show. We're going to be sitting down with Trinchini Rhodes, Robin and Stuart in just a few minutes here, and we're sitting out in the beautiful patio at Brick and Bone. So thank you for sponsoring today's show, Dan. Jump on his website and order Brit Comedy Doc, Flying Cattle Class. Now, I know it's a stereotype, you being from the UK where food has no flavor and dental care is a myth that is only discussed in the fantasy rooms online. How are your teeth? They look pretty good from here.
My teeth are
you got
right.
Those here. You got those in the States, though, right?
My teeth are okay because I've been in America for nearly 3 years, so my teeth are good now.
Mine are terrible. We were talking about that off mic a few minutes ago. I have lots of problems in my head, teeth being just one of them. Some are physical, some are emotional, but I've got lots of problems going on between my ears. But this past week, I went to go see Nathan Thompson, Dr. Thompson with Prescott Dentistry, and he is an unwitting sponsor to our show. So we'll either get a nice little thank you from Prescott Dentistry Dr. Nathan Thompson or a cease and desist. I'm not quite sure. But he's taking care of me. Check him out at, they're online. They're on Facebook, Twitter, Prescott Dentistry. Slap a Google search in there. They're at 350 West Whipple Street, directly across the street from the Sonic on Whipple and Prescott. Check him out. Made me feel real comfortable going in to an area where I am not comfortable going in normally. So thanks to Dr. Thompson and the good folks at Prescott Dentistry for sponsoring.
And just looking at Matt's teeth, they do look good, so he's
obviously a good guy. I put my good ones in today.
All right, okay.
I sent my other ones out for cleaning and a little engine work.
So those are better fitting. I see.
Brent, that is it. I thought, aren't you a comedian? What's going on? Jeez. All right, we'll be right back in a few moments with Stuart Rhodes and Robin Trincini with Trincini Rhodes at Brick and Bones. Do you know you Yeah, shouldn't be an issue, though. Introduce yourselves, Robin. And I have pronounced your name, and I've spelled it probably 9 different ways.
It's pronounced exactly how it's spelled.
Which is?
Trincini.
Trincini. Okay, yes. I got it right a couple of times. And Stuart? And
I'm Stuart Rhodes.
And you, how often, or is it just me, does Mud Groove and Mud Bone get mistaken?
Probably every time somebody comes sees one or the other. It been that way 8 years since I've been here. But I always make the joke, but we got the cute one out front.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
And that's the difference. Mudgroove's been Mudgroove for over 17 years. The band originated in Oklahoma and with Stuart and some other players. And
let's talk about you said you've been here about 8?
Yeah.
And before that, so Mudgroove's been in existence for how long?
Actually, about 14 years.
Out of where?
Oklahoma.
Is that where you were born and raised?
No, most of my adult life is from Arizona, but I ended up in Oklahoma for a while, and my wife at the time started the band, and one day I came up with the name Mudgroove. And
where did it come from?
We were playing a place that had about 100 yards of dirt road, and when it rained, somebody would get stuck in a mud groove, and the whole bar would go out and help these people go, and it was very cool because everybody would go out of their way to help these people get stuck out of the mud groove. And I, a couple weeks later, hit me that should be the name of the band, and it's stuck ever since.
And always playing guitar, is that your?
Yeah, I play bass, and not with this band, but I do bass gigs for other bands and things like that. But yeah, I've always been the guitarist.
Now you have been a real staple in the music scene in this area since I've been, and I got here. I've been here about 10 years, and I think the first time I saw you was probably about 7 years ago, seven years ago.
And we've been staying busy off and on, and I've been fortunate to have some really very good musicians playing with me, and the people we have now I've been playing with for over 3 years, and Cameron Pierce is an incredible drummer, and Cody is just Cody. He's a great bass player. He has a killer ear, and he plays on a 7-string fretless bass.
Yeah, that's what kind of bass is it?
It's a Conklin bass, and it's a 7-string.
And then
last year he ripped the frets out, and
because it wasn't complicated enough already for him, so he likes the challenge of something different. And Cameron's like that too. Cameron, he's like the best drummer that's not known in town. Everybody's like, who is that guy? And you know, and he's absolutely amazing with a Neil Peart style. He can play anything. We ask him, what Zeppelin and Rush tunes do you know? And he stops for a second. He goes, well, all of them. And he does.
He does.
He's got a memory that he remembers absolutely everything that he hears or ever does. And
what you know what? I'm personally going to pop this off. I feel like I'm not used to it.
You can sit back.
Then I can relax. Well, what's your set look like when you're when you guys are playing? You're taking a little break this month.
Yes.
And we'll get into why. I got that message from you the other day.
Well, we just kind of took some time off. The drummer is making a move, and he's still playing drums with us, but it took him time to get into a place down north of Tucson. And
Oh, wow, that's quite a trek then, huh?
About 2.5-hour drive.
Yeah.
He'll be here next Saturday. And
Nice.
But it just kind of... Everything hit at once, and we tried, take the time to revamp new equipment, new tunes.
You're also doing some equipment swap outs and trying out some new things?
A new PA, board and a couple of things.
New guitar. Let's not forget that.
Oh, new guitar.
A beautiful guitar.
and a newer guitar coming. So.
Is that a surprise? Did you know?
That'll be the surprise.
That'll be a surprise when it comes, but I'm sure with the equipment that you're going to be playing it with, it's going to take him a little time to sort out the sounds
the
that he wants out
things.
Of it. Yeah. One of the things too, I mean, I'm going on my year anniversary. Well, actually, June was my year anniversary of playing with the band. The first time I sang with them was Stuart has a birthday bash every year. He plays on his birthday, and my first time was not this year, but last year, and we had no time or opportunity for rehearsal. They just said, "Here's the set list, let's go."
Not your first time on stage, though.
No,
honestly.
Not my first time on stage.
Give me a little of your history.
Oh gosh, my history. I mean, I sang quite a bit in high school with jazz ensembles and small pieces like that, and then after I went to college, I just kind of forgot about that for about 25 years.
Where was home for you?
I have a split.
25 years. You went to high school when you were 3?
What? Yes. No, I I graduated in 85. I'm a grandmother even, so, and a great-grandmother at that, which I wasn't my choosing. But anyway, I just hadn't really gotten involved in music for a while, and then got a wild hair about 6 years ago, you know, because I sang karaoke. It's like, why can't I just do this professionally? And that's when I met Stuart and his band. I'm like, I want to do that.
Nice.
We pulled together musicians and got equipment and played around with a few different groups of musicians. And I found a pretty decent one with my last band, Bittersweet. And we got to do some real fun gigs, you know, PV days and the fair and 4th of July and stuff like that. And
where was home for you? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up between Arizona and Southern California. Fullerton, California is where I went to high school and spent most of my years there.
Yeah.
Newport Beach, you know, all that fun stuff. And
Nice place to grow up.
It was quite wonderful. Newport, the Balboa Peninsula was absolutely, you know, my parents could be safe and dropping me off there, and it's a tiny neighborhood. Everybody knew me and knew where I was going and what I was doing, and I got
Could be good, that could be bad. I come from a big area, bigger than this spot. I was Northern California, outside of Oakland, right between Oakland and San Jose. And moved to Paulden, the metropolis. It's a suburb of Ash Fork. So from 150,000 to 3,000.
Yeah. And that's kind of what brought me here to Prescott and Chino Valley area. It was a small town. I always wanted some property. I've gotten to the point now where I get a little anxiety being in big cities. We played a gig last October in La Jolla. We did a wedding. And just driving on the freeways there just sent me into an anxiety.
We get that periodically. We go, you know, once a year, once every 18 months or so, we'll go back to the Bay Area. And right when coming off the 5, entering the East Bay, it's like, I want to go back home. Now this is home. For the first few years, I always felt that I wasn't at home. But, boy, and that's one of the goods and the bads, you know. Traffic's not there. The pace of life's a lot slower here. But being a small town, you can't get away with much.
Right. And it's
beautiful. Plus, you know, when you do go back to a big city, it's as you realize how much the small towns influence you by going, okay, you have 10 lanes of traffic doing 80 miles an hour, and they all know where we're going, and I don't.
Yeah. I think the main thing, though, in this area, and Stuart and I have talked, because we've both lived in a few different places in Denver, you know, separately Denver and other large cities, but Prescott's nice from a musician standpoint, because there is, I mean, there's not great opportunities to become famous, but there's great opportunities to play with good musicians and put your product out there and have people enjoy it. And the concert series that they're doing on the square is one of the best opportunities ever. You don't get paid to play, but you do get a nice crowd.
Now, that runs, Tuesday nights?
The concert series is every Friday and Saturday all summer long, from 6 to 9, and they feature different bands every Friday and every Saturday. So you get it's wonderful from our standpoint, because you get professional sound set up for you, and you get a nice crowd. People bring their lawn chairs and their kids and their dogs. And
you get the influx of folks who come up here from the metro area to get out of the heat.
Right.
So you're playing in front of a really wide audience.
It is. It's a very broad audience. I played with my previous band the past 2 years, and it's a complete enjoyment, because you get the older people out there dancing and the little kids coming up, and it's just it just makes your heart smile, you know, especially the children.
Tuesdays is like the jazz.
Jazz night on Tuesdays.
So they've got a pretty big mix. And like you were saying, in this area, you know, well, I guess it pretty much goes for across the board when you in the arts, whether it be, you know, painting, sculpture, photography. That's my background, is photography. Mm-hmm. Music, of course. You don't get into it to get rich. You know, obviously
it would be a nice perk, but
but it's because of the love of doing it, the love of creating that music and presenting your art to such a wide audience. You're saying there's a whole lot of spots around here. How have you seen in the last 6-8 years being in Prescott, how have you seen the change of the music scene in Prescott? Because I was, when I moved out here, I was blown away with how much was going on for such a small community.
For the size of this town, it's amazing, especially the level of musicianship that's in this town. You can walk into not any club, but somewhere within the row, there's a world-class player playing there, or a band, and you just go, that's cool. They could be playing L.A. or New York or anywhere else and be the same band.
We're sitting in the patio at Brick and Bones, which is a spot I record here fairly often. I know you guys are here
We've been here a couple. A few.
You see some great musicians scheduled on this stage we're sitting in front of, but Wednesday, I believe they have the open mic here on Wednesdays. Yes. Don has one. Don Cheek, Thursdays at the Birdcage. Typically, when you hear open mic, kind of like a jam night, you never know what you're going to get in music. It could be somebody who's just learning, taking some lessons. The open mics and the jam nights in this town are incredible.
They're scary. You just walk in and go, how come you're not playing all the time?
The Point on Sunday afternoons.
Pink Brothers.
That really came along. They're doing a fantastic job, and it's a nice little venue for that, too.
Yeah.
And I agree. Every open mic we've been to play at, or even just to visit and support friends, the men that run them very well, and they kind of gauge what's going to go on when it's somebody that they've never seen before. But there's been some incredible surprises. Yeah. Incredible surprises. A young man with a ukulele I can't even remember his name now, but he was absolutely fantastic. And
the first time I heard Becky Dahlke play was at a Thursday night a few years ago. With Dawn's open mic, and she just blew me away. I gotta reach out to her. I gotta sit down and talk with
her.
I met her online, and we chit-chatted, and she invited me over to Cottonwood for Girls in Around, which is mostly just women, and since I don't sing, I played lead guitar for her.
Did they make you let your hair go fly? Because you got it in braids today.
No, they each girl takes a song and it goes around, and then me being there, I got to play solo through all this.
So you were like the session musician for the day.
And that was the first time I heard her sing, and I was so blown away. She's like, and she's a sweetheart, absolutely sweetheart.
She's a wonderful gal, and with Becky Festa, she's really promoted a lot of us female artists just to empower us and to continue doing what we're doing. And I can't say anything terrible about her. She's just such a wonderful person. Her mother has the farmers market here in town, and I mean they're great people, and they really push the music and push. Best thing I like about her, she pushes the newbies. We have some musicians that were just street musicians that didn't have enough courage to get up on stage, and between the open mics and Becky lift them up, and now they're ready to go. They've got full sets of music to
flies
do.
Flies all over.
Stuart, with this, I'd like to bring this up because you talked about being the session musician for the girls in the round. Stuart, you've had a couple brushes of Almost Famous with with that.
Yeah, it kind of brushed me off. Yeah.
He doesn't like to talk about it because he doesn't want to.
Drag it out of him. What do you?
He doesn't like to drop names and things.
First off, before we get into the specifics, you've been playing for, you said, Mud Groove about 16 or so years, over a decade. How long have you been playing music, though? Is this your whole life? Did you grow up in a musical family?
Actually, I started out playing piano when I was 4. And
oh, wow.
Then when I was 10, I seen Jimi Hendrix on the Dick Cavett Show. My father was a guitar player, and next day he comes home from work, and I had his guitar in my hand, and I said, and the look on his face is like, oh no. And it's,
oh no, he's got my guitar, or oh no, he's going to be a musician.
Oh no, I got to show him something. And oh no, he's going to, and Will's, and they pushed my music up until I was 16, 17, and decided that's what I wanted to do. And then they were kind of a little bit, my folks were a little standoffish because they said, like my dad said, it's a bull crap business. And
was your dad a professional musician?
He was back in the 50s.
Yeah.
And,
what was he playing?
He was playing guitar in a honky tonk five nights a week.
And I think at some point he didn't want to wish that on his child. But
well, it just and in later years up until like a couple of years ago he played three nights a week in the church.
Wow.
And always played in church. And I remember one time when we were moving, like when we got out here, we weren't doing that many gigs. I go, you're playing more than I am.
Yeah. Now, what was your first band, that like formal band, where you were playing not just in front of family, you know, in the living room?
I was 16, and it was in
high school band.
Yeah, we played some high school stuff, and that was in. I grew up in Shreveport, Louisiana, and so I still keep up with some of those guys.
Yeah.
And So I've been playing guitar for 45 years.
That first band, what was the name of the band? Do you remember?
Pui.
Twi?
Pui.
Pui.
P-W-H-E-E.
Was this some kind of Cajun?
Yeah, Cajun. Something to that effect, yeah.
I want to know what that word means.
I just joined the band. I didn't name it.
Were you guys playing covers? Were you playing pop,
we
top 40?
We were playing covers, and then the band kind of progressed and changed names a few times. We had a really good keyboard player, and then pushed us to doing some Yes tunes and stuff like that. And when I was 17, 18, by the time that I was changing from rock and roll, getting really more into jazz and progressive stuff, and bands like Yes and, you know, Genesis, and just like, okay, I want to go in this direction.
Yeah.
And I did construction for many years to support my jazz habit. And,
I could think of worse habits.
I've had worse habits. Too. And then I had kids, and that kind of dampened a couple things. And I was living in Phoenix at the time, and every time I had an opportunity to leave Phoenix, I'd go back for my kids. And finally, they got old enough that at 13, I'm going to be gone all night. And maybe two nights.
Yeah.
Actually, the career didn't start back up again until 17, 18 years ago.
Yeah.
And that was with Related to Ned?
Related to Ned in Oklahoma. And we actually were working on our second album, had a CD out. We were doing some really good shows, like opening up for Dr. Hook and Leon Russell.
Oh, yeah?
And that was fun. And it was a good band, but we just they just couldn't get quite over that edge of... half the band had little bitty kids, and I can't tour, and that was the next thing, to go further.
It's tough to draw that line between the full dedication that, you know, is needed in some fields to get over that hump, and then prioritizing what takes top.
I never wanted kids till I had them, and that's probably the only time something prioritized over my music, myself, and you know,
my wife and I were married 15 years before our little guy came. Now she's raising two kids, myself and the 5-year-old. I like to tell we're twins. We're just 45 years apart. Yeah.
I love it.
People think, now, would you say you graduated at 85?
85.
I was 84, and when he came along, I'd be walking through Safeway, Chino. You know, when he was real tiny, and people would come up to people that I've known for a while. Oh, you're a proud grandpa, huh? So I'd throw stuff at him when they walk by.
I'm fortunate enough not to get that too much.
I have twins that are 26 years old now, and I should have more gray hair than I have.
So. He hides it in the braids.
Yeah.
See, I don't shave my head. I just pluck the grays, and this is what I end up with.
I would probably be pretty darn close to the same position with you.
Now, are you just full-time music now? Or are you still swinging a hammer?
I am. I got out of construction 4 years ago. I lost my right shoulder, and it's just I can't
just,
even lift it
just from
anymore.
Doing that work for so long?
30 years of construction.
Yeah. What kind of work were you doing? What kind of construction?
Commercial framing, like high-rise buildings and drywall. And and
how's the knees? You lost your shoulder. How's the knees?
Knees are pretty good. The back's pretty good.
Yeah.
Both shoulders are shot.
Ah, man.
He's fortunate enough. He managed to figure out how to play his guitar again and, you know, after all that.
Well, we had a couple gigs right around the time I lost my shoulder, and it... kind of worried about it, but thank you, Leo Fender, I could slide into it. And
where there's a will, there's a way.
Play. My bigger guitars, like my acoustic, I couldn't play for 6 months to a year.
Wow.
It took a lot of training to get back to that.
Now, Robin, you've got something you do during the day.
Oh, what? My day job, yes. What? Yeah, that's my alter ego. I'm a veterinary technician. I've been doing this work for roughly 15 years now. Graduated college wanting to be a science teacher, and it just kind of, I didn't care for the school systems in the state. And
and being in a classroom all day with animals is different than treating animals.
Yeah, it is different. I found that with my student teaching, the parents were worse than the children for the most part. But no, it's just when I went to college in Colorado, they're a little bit more open about how to make curriculum and teach kids as they need to be taught.
What college did you go to?
I went to, Colorado University and a faction of it at Metropolitan State University in Denver, downtown Denver. We were right next to the old Mile High Stadium.
Yeah. What's the college in Fort Collins?
That is CSU.
Yeah,
and that's a veterinary college.
Yeah, a friend of ours, daughter. Well, she's a friend of ours, too. She just graduated there last year.
Yeah, they've got quite a program there, and I've been through there, but Colorado University is where most of my degree came from. And
What type of training did you in your vet background?
The veterinary technician.
Did that help you dealing with musicians?
Absolutely not.
She's learned how to put up with dogs.
Yeah, that's true. No, it's a far cry. My day life is so different than the rest of it. I enjoy it quite a bit. I worked in human medicine for a while and then crossed over to veterinary, and I enjoy the veterinary medicine more. you know, you can gauge when a dog's going to bite you, but not a human, you know. It's and they're nicer, and they're actually they're more nicer. Appreciative, you know. But,
now, where are you with? Let's give them a plug.
Oh, well, they'll love that. Chino Valley Animal Hospital in the north side of Chino Valley.
Cahan,
yes. Cahan. Dr. Michael Cahan and Patrick Waite, who's from Scotland, and Dr. Elaine McCollum and Miles Killian. And they're all wonderful veterinarians.
Yeah, I think that's where my wife knows all that.
Yeah, it's a great place.
It's a very good clinic.
I've worked at several practices around the area, and this one is quite nice. And they try to treat the employees pretty well. And
I know we've been really happy there, and we've boarded our dog there. We use Chino Animal Hospital, right? Is that the one?
I don't want to hear different.
I don't even know where my son goes to the doctor. I don't. She's the brains
of the operation.
That's why she's got her back to me. She's making faces right now.
But no, it's a fun place. It's 10 minutes away from home, you know, and they're really great working with my schedule. You know, I here's my list of gigs and when I can't be on call and don't want to do a weekend, and they're really supportive and.
Well, good. We'll put a link to their spot up there. I know we're real happy. She's real happy. I don't know.
They're a good facility, and it's state of the art facility inside.
Fairly new building. They did the switch building, over. What about 4 years?
The building
ago?
Is 6 years old now.
Six already.
It is. Yeah, we've got some new things going on. We've got a physical therapy water tank. It's a water treadmill for physical therapy post osteosurgery.
Oh, wow.
Yes, so it fills up with water as a treadmill that changes elevation. And
I just want the laser therapy.
Yeah,
on my shoulder.
Yeah, we got laser therapy for pain relief, too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so we're
cutting edge.
It is.
In Chino Valley.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, but believe it or not. Yeah. Yeah,
well, that whole facility is cutting edge.
And, very nice.
And they're one of the best I've seen anywhere, so.
Yeah, I'm quite happy there, and it's fun to be proud of where you work.
No, that is nice, and we got some good updates on the vet side. Let's talk about the music side. Mudgroove, you've got some stuff coming up.
Next Saturday, August 1st, we'll be in the square at out front of the courthouse. And
what time do you guys go up?
Start at 6.
6 o'clock?
And 6
to 9, and we're putting together the show to do just two real strong sets, an hour and 40-minute sets or so. And
it's going to be a lot of fun. The one thing I do want to make clear, and people may not know this if they go every Friday and Saturday, is that the bands are not paid. So we rely, and I don't like to say, oh, please give us lots of tips, but we do rely on tips to get paid. And most of the people are very generous about it. You know.
Well, it's just I've been trying to get onto that show for a while, and it's tough, you know. And she's had an edge of playing with her band there before, and I've known Ted with
Prescott Pro Sound.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and you know, we've been looking, trying to get this show something to get. Man, I like the way you play. I want to. And we keep hitting and missing with who books it, and finally we got it this year. And Mudgroove does it the way we play on stage. I've said for years we play a concert every club we play.
Yeah,
because we just don't play the songs. Yeah.
What's your set list look like? What are folks hearing when they come see you live?
Pretty much our versions of cover tunes.
Yeah.
But the cover tunes are special. You'll hear anything.
You muddy them up a little bit.
We call it mud grooving.
I started this band because I've always been a sideman to other people's bands and other projects. And I wanted a band that I had to say so in. And my singer at the time, I wanted to build a band around her with really good musicians that everybody gets a showcase, not just, okay, we're not a dance band.
Right. Yeah.
It's definitely a concert band, but people end up dancing too.
Well, if there's a 4/4 beat, they'll dance.
Right.
And the thing is, we wanted to do songs that we wanted to do, and everybody's always told me, you got to play to the crowd. And I said, you know what? I want to do what we want to do for once and see where that goes. 14 years later, we're still getting gigs. And so.
And if you're just, you know, spouting off like a jukebox, you know, play this, play that, you know, that's nice.
There's quite a few bands around that do that. Yeah. They're doing very well, you know.
But when you're playing what you want to play and you've got that enthusiasm, that desire and that that passion behind it, that translates right out to the dance floor, to the seats, to the crowd.
It does.
And it's a surprise for folks, too. They're sitting there. We played a gig at Lizards one time, and somebody came up with a request, "Do you know any Black Sabbath?" Sure. And we do. And so we started playing it, and they're looking at us like it was a jazz form of
We have a lounge Sabbath. Lizard jazz thing of Black Sabbath, Paranoid, and it's a real sleazy swing version of.
Now, is the jazz influence your jazz habit? Is that
his jazz habit? Ends up in every song. It's somewhere or somehow you'll find it.
That's like if you've seen us tonight performing, what you see tomorrow night will probably be slightly different, just to keep the improv and the fun and make it different.
Nice.
But we do everything from Stevie Nicks and Fleetwood Mac to Rush, Zeppelin, a lot of Zeppelin because we love it so much. I'm trying to think. Gosh, there's so many different songs. Evanescence.
It's a wide variety.
Yeah, very wide variety.
And
it's not all headbanging. It's not all, you know.
We actually do, I think, one headbanging song. We do an Iron Maiden song, so one. We don't go real heavy.
And then we have some originals, a couple instrumental originals.
They let me get away with that. So
yeah. Your compositions or other members of the band?
One is kind of a conglomerate of me, Cody, and Cameron, and then most of the other are mine.
Yeah.
Tunes I've written over the years.
Now, Robin, are you primarily on vocals?
I'm all vocals.
All vocals?
They don't let me have an instrument.
No?
And she doesn't let us have a mic.
Yeah.
I don't have a whole lot of rhythm. I'm learning, but I don't have a whole lot of rhythm, so we just kind of avoid that issue.
Now, who are your vocal inspirations?
My vocal inspirations? Oh, my. That's such a good question. Janis Joplin, of course, Stevie Nicks, Amy Lee, Bonnie Raitt.
She's been listening to Ella Fitzgerald.
I'm learning new things since we've been together. He's been pushing, here, listen to this for a minute and listen to that and see what you can do to incorporate it into what we do.
She's actually scatting now.
Jazz singers, it's hard. It's really, it's not as easy as they make it look. And to follow a player and figure out, I call it like double Dutch jump rope. You know, you see the ropes going, and then you figure out where the right moment is to jump in.
And then
and do
really
it.
Utilizing your voice as an instrument, improv.
That's the thing with us. A lot of people, nobody else sings in the band. I'm going, that would be her job. My job's a guitar. Cody's a bass. And then we have a drum. We each have our own job. And hers is just fill that fourth spot of the vocals.
Yes. I mean, we don't have harmonies, and a lot of our friends are like, well, you know, you should really have harmonies, but the way we make up for not having that is to have four exceptional musicians on stage that can do anything, you know.
Nice. And now, you guys also perform separately away from Mudgroove.
Yes.
As a duet and trio.
How does that change the dynamics of your set and
quite well as far as the set list goes? Not that much. The style of it that we approach it at changes dramatically, it's what you can get away with. I mean, if I could do our duet gigs, because our drummer, he plays percussion, and we done that at for Acker's Night at Devil's Pantry, play there every year, and he comes in with just congas and a cymbal and a bass player, and so we call that Mudgroove Light.
we fool around with some of the tunes that we do, you know, play heavier in the band. What was the song that I brought up? Why can't we do Immigrant Song acoustic? And they're all looking at me like, what? And I said, no, really, think about it. Yeah. And then we and in fact, the first time we played it here was on this stage. Yeah. We never practiced it. We just seriously just, let's try this. And everybody fell into place, and it just became what it was.
That's what I love about my band. Anything I throw at them, they got it.
And the duet, it's fun with the duet. He's taught me a lot, because it's harder to not have that that, you know, rhythm section behind you to keep you in pace and going. And then for him, he doesn't get those big long solos and all that fun stuff, you know, but he does manage to
feature himself. So you rein him in a little bit.
No, he features himself here and there. But
and my approach to rhythm is I'm not a real strum player as such. Sit and just play with acoustic guitar and play strumming, I have a hard time because I always my finger pick and I comp, jazz comp. And it just it kind of throws a rhythm off for the singer because they're used to that straight time. You know, like, I hear it in my head, so I play with the time. And she's like, "Where are you at?" I'm here. Where are you at? But we have fun, and that is the first rule of Mudgrew. First, it's got to be fun. Second, it's got to be professional. And third, always, let's get paid.
Yeah. So you might have to switch those priorities every once in a while.
Yeah,
there's that.
Lately.
I won't give up my first rule, though. It's got to be fun.
Yeah. And it's this past year, it's been a little bit of a challenge because, of course, bringing me in and the old singer moved to Colorado. And a lot of the town thought the band, oh, it's over. The band's over. Where's, you know, so-and-so? And so we've had to kind of prove ourselves all over again, which I...
Kind of reinventing ourselves and going, but it's the same band. We just got a different singer and actually a better singer and with more songs and more variety of songs. And so...
It's coming along.
It's coming along.
Yeah,
with
the help of friends like Don Cheek and others, we've been, you know...
Now, you concentrate your performances here... Tri-City, Quad City area, or Cinco City, whatever we're calling ourselves.
We go to Cottonwood. We're looking at some gigs down in Cape Creek and Phoenix. And,
Sedona, hopefully.
We have a really good following over in Cottonwood. And that's always fun because we play Cactus Cates or Chaparral over there, and we get our crowd from each to come see us. And I'm like, yay, cool.
Nice.
Yeah. And our Facebook page has gotten up to... 652, I think, followers now, which all around the United States and a couple out of the country.
Now, you have Mudgroove's page, your own personal page, but you also have a Trinchini Roads page.
Yes.
Was there another? Did we have another one or no?
No,
we had the Mudgroove page, and then she started at Trinchini Roads, and we haven't really pushed that one as such yet, but the Mudgroove page is...
We got about 72 on Trinchini Roads, which isn't too bad considering.
Well, you go on the Mudgroove page, you can link into our YouTube videos and stuff, and so we're working on some more videos, and
the way you guys put your spin and your flavor onto your tunes, is there anything that would have been some of the more challenging ones? You mentioned Immigrant Song.
The Rush tunes, definitely.
The Rush tunes I haven't played in over 30 years, and...
Well, Teachy Cody, who really, I mean, I've heard of him, you know, but that's not his, you know, his genre that he listens to. But everybody doing each part, the way a Rush song goes is like a story. There's different spots that change every time, and it builds up and then comes back down and goes to it. They're a very complicated band. And
the first time we rehearsed Rush's instrumental tune, La Via Strangre Auto, we kind of tapped into it a little bit, and then the first time we were really going through it, I had to stop because it sounded so good. I felt like I was listening to somebody else.
Yeah.
You know, I can't believe we're pulling this song off this well. And I have a killer drummer.
We're very fortunate. Cameron, who, like I said before, he remembers everything he's ever played or listened to.
He's kind of like having Neil Peart in a band.
He does. He stops us. So, okay, wait. Now, this time here, all the time signatures were different. Here's what you're doing. And he catches us every time we make a mistake and helps us through that, stumble through it when we're at a gig and we've made it.
We stumble through it. Actually, we've done enough now that they're a lot of fun to play, and people go, stop and go, I can't believe you're doing Rush. You know,
anything you're currently working on that you haven't introduced yet that we can look forward to?
Some new originals that we're going to be working on over the next couple months that I really want to dial in, and I'd like to have more originals in the band.
We like to do the variety rock and throw in a few originals because nobody wants to hear a band that plays straight originals around. I mean, they'll say, I like it, but they won't get up and dance to it because they're not familiar with it, or they won't sing with you because they're not familiar with
it. Plus the way they do original showcasing around here, I don't want to play for just an hour. We have we have 6 hours, six sets of material or more, and not to knock any of the bands, but when they, you know, we're going to play, we got all these originals, and they get 45 minutes a set, set up, tear down. At this day and age,
well,
I just
at our age, that's just, you know.
No, I want to play the whole night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or pay me well for the hour. And
do you have a spot around town that you really, really look forward to playing?
This one's one of our favorites.
One, Brick and Bones is one of my favorites. We like playing Lizards. And
how is it? Do you feel a different dynamic playing here, where you're what, 18 inches off the ground? With the dance floor literally on in your lap, as opposed to now Lizard just you're set
Lizard's
up.
Got a
about,
little bit
yeah,
higher
stage, about
yes.
4 or 5 feet.
Yeah, you're up pretty high.
It doesn't.
But it's not like, you know, Hooligans where you're behind the bar.
Behind the bar, drummer behind the glass.
Yeah. That, which is wonderful. They got a wonderful stage, but none of that bothers me because I go wireless.
It doesn't change you at all?
If you come to see one of our shows, you'll see me off stage good third of the time with the crowd because that's what I like to do. Yeah. I like to touch the crowd and let them sing with me. And
we like running wireless, so.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Any difference in playing like large, like at the square? Do you just play your set? Regardless.
I play my set regardless.
Yeah.
We'll probably change a couple things at the square, a few of the songs that are a little less family-oriented in the language. We might either change the language or, you know.
Adapt them a little
bit. Yeah, I'm still on the fence as to whether Iron Maiden will go well with the crowd there. So yeah.
But, never know until you give it a shot.
Well, and that's the thing.
It'd be a later in the night.
Yeah. Right. That's the thing. I made up clear-cut set lists, but we never play them like they're put together because Stuart changes his mind at the drop of a pin. And
one of the benefits of it being your band. You can do
that. I can do that. I tried to set list thing for a while, and I like having the songs in front of me, but I like reading the crowd and going, okay, that's not going to work.
This is true, and that's very important, and a lot of bands don't realize that. You know, you look out and see what they're moving to and what they're not. And,
do you feel a difference in playing in front of, like, the... your fans, the folks that come out that you know personally, as opposed to like on a tourist weekend or on a weekend when you got a lot of folks from out of town?
It's a different feeling, but they're both about as equal as exciting. Yeah. The one with your fan base, you know, you can get away with more because they're expecting you to see something new or expecting
when they've seen you dozens and dozens of time, knowing it's going to be a different show each go.
Yeah,
around.
And with the new faces like this next weekend, I want it to be like on spot real quick, and but I also want to have fun with it. If we get in the groove, I want to go off on that. And
we've had some opportunities, so like when we've played Birdcage and a couple other places where out of towners, and I mean like way out of towners, out of staters were coming in going, you guys are amazing, you know, and we're from Boston and we've never heard anything like this. I'm like, wow, you know,
nice.
Big city people, this is great.
Anything in your mix that you would be happy if you never had to play again?
I'm sure he's got a few because he gets as a jazz player, he gets bored easily. But
about 10 years ago, somebody made a joke and somebody hollered up Smoke on the Water. I haven't played that song since I was a kid. We go into it, the drummer knows it, bass player, and the singer knew it. I'm going... And it was such a reaction of as soon as you started that song, everybody stopped, turned around, went, yeah, yeah. And I went, oh, crap, now this is going to be on the set list. And we've kind of weeded that one out. But
And Freebird, that's the other one that
I like playing Freebird.
I know you do, but there's always some, it doesn't matter what band is
I
playing.
I like playing it because nobody else does.
How about you on vocals? Anything that you like, I hope I don't have to sing this tonight? I hope Stuart behaves himself and doesn't throw this
actually,
the
there hasn't been a single thing that I've been unhappy with, really. There's,
just change
there's
it into an instrumental and go take a break.
Yes, there's that, which they can do. But no, I haven't been unhappy with anything. There's a few songs I want to add that I keep getting the, well, I don't know, you know, but it's because they were songs from my previous band, and we're trying not to recreate both of our blues
songs.
Yeah. Oh, yes, and blues. He hates the blues. He'll play it in his way, but he hates the blues.
I have to clarify this because growing up in Louisiana, one of the home bases of blues, that was the beginning stigma of everything. And I've, over the years, getting more into jazz, more into progressive rock, I just got away from blues, the three-chord progression. And at my age, I've come to the conclusion that there's only two reasons to play blues, and that's either you have a really crappy life or that's all you know. And that's not very much.
The funny thing is he makes that joke, but when we do get together with blues players, he blows them out of the water. Because he can do it very well.
I've lived the blues. I've been divorced. I've had to live off the street. Been a construction worker. That's enough to play blues.
But we do it because people do like it. We try to give something.
The only thing
we haven't ventured into is a country tune or two. We just haven't tried that yet.
You're in cowboy country.
But it was kind of an improv.
Yeah.
Improv.
Yeah, impromptu country thing, and okay, that'll last about a minute.
Well, let's go back to some of the folks that you've played with. You mentioned a couple that you've opened for in previous incarnations.
I got to open up for Leon Russell a couple times and Dr. Hook. I got to play a show in front of Stevie Ray Vaughan a couple times.
Oh, man.
And your hero? And your favorite guitar player? Who would that be?
Eddie.
Pat.
I didn't play. I was at played at a club that Pat Metheny was in, and he was there.
Nice.
And he's still top player in my book, and that was probably the most intimidating moment because he's 10 feet away staring me down.
Yeah.
And
how did it work out?
It went well.
Did you get a chance to talk with him at all? Or
yeah, actually, I'd met him a couple times before, and. He came up, shook my hand, said he really appreciated the way I played, and cool.
Nice.
Yeah, and so lets you know you're on the right track when you know they're not just part of the crowd; they're actually paying attention. So,
compliments coming from somebody who knows.
Yeah,
yeah.
And one of the people I still think look up to as far as what he's done for the guitar playing across the board. He's played every style. He's played all the big weights. He's one of the few jazz guitarists that's, you know, makes millions of dollars a year off that instrument and no vocals.
Speaking of Pat Metheny, big influence on you.
And I had to quit listening to him. I started sounding too much like him.
You start drawing away from your own style.
And that's with any guitarist. I really like, you know, Alan Halsworth and Jeff Beck. Eric Johnson's a big favorite of mine. Al Di Meola got me into the jazz thing.
And Joe Pass.
Who?
Joe Pass.
Well, that goes without saying, Joe Pass. So you're getting into the straight jazz players as far as what I call the straight-ahead players like Jim Hall and Joe Pass and Tal Farlow and those guys. That's the further level of playing, and that's a dedication that when I got back into rock and roll, I kind of lost that a little bit because I wanted to concentrate on more of the sound that I had. And in the last few years, I got back into a jazz guitar and kind of got me back into playing the straight-ahead jazz, and pretty much at home, that's all I do is sit around and play that.
Yeah.
People go, well, how do you learn a song? I go, off of YouTube. Okay, I got it. Let's play it. And then we play it our way.
Nice.
So,
now, you all live recording, live performing? Got any plans to get in the studio and record anything? Or
We would like to. I think after... we started working out the original thing, and I really wanted to go in the studio and record cover tunes. And I have probably, 30 originals that are ready now. It's just a matter of sitting down with her and getting the lyrics right. And the band knows several of them, but Yeah, I would like to get a decent recording. And
so the only way for folks to stay in that loop is to follow you on Facebook, so that they can see the announcements.
We do put up stuff periodically. We keep up with putting up something new on YouTube, and I'm hoping to get some of that from next week up on YouTube.
Nice.
Yeah, so if there's anybody out there that would like to be our videographer.
A real videographer, not with just the phone.
Not a cell phone, that's not going to cut it, huh?
Well, you know, I played one time there, and I had somebody take my iPhone and record with it, and it was surprisingly good.
It's amazing, technology. Well, let's put Teddy on the spot. Ted's been a guest on Mile High Show in the past, and he's got some great video folks his toolbox, so... Teddy Leonard, Prescott Pro Sounds, get the cameras out there next Saturday. And
yes.
Let's get this stuff recorded.
Ted's wonderful, though. He has, you know, told me many times, if you bring some CDs, we'll throw them in and we'll record
this. Burn them right
through the
board.
Yeah.
We plugged this little guy in a couple weeks back with Five in the Wheel out in Prescott Valley.
Dan sitting right over there.
Who's that?
Dan
Shaw, Five in the Wheel.
Oh, is it?
And Kim.
All I see is a big post. There he is. Yeah, we plugged in and had a good time doing that.
Nice.
And tapped right into his board.
Speaking of to boast Five in a Wheel, they do have the best vocal band in the area. So anytime you have four-part harmony.
Yeah, that they can pull it off like they do. Yeah. And the booth, they're good friends.
So. Anything you guys want to hit that we haven't touched on?
Do you have anything you want to talk about?
Just always support live music, and I hope that Prescott picks back up. I know the last few times I've been down here on the weekend, it's been kind of slow compared to the last few years in the middle of summer. And what's going on? How come there's parking spots out there? This is not normal Prescott season.
Yeah.
Just everybody get back out there and start supporting your local bands and have fun.
And come see Mud Groove
Live.
Saturday at 6 o'clock.
That's right. And share the Facebook page and everybody
look,
enjoy.
Probably right there on the front edge of the stage will be that tip jar. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. I'm assuming.
Don't forget. We're hoping to do that and maybe have a few friends go out in the crowd and help us out with
nice,
that too.
Nice.
Yeah, it's always fun that way.
Well, you gonna get a chance to play a tune or two for
us?
Yes,
if we have time, that would be wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
This is what we talk about when we say we might groove a song.
I walked around the world just to ease my troubled mind. I watched my body lying somewhere in the sense town. I watched the world look to the dark side of the moon. Where will you still